हरे कृष्णा 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 हरि 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 राम 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 हरि हरि।
I sincerely welcome everyone to our Sunday festival in Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. My special gratitude to His Holiness Bhakti Vishramba Madhava Maharaj. He's a very dedicated servant of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. Very, very enthusiastic, very deeply learned, and completely committed to the path of pure devotional service. Let us very enthusiastically welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath. And to His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj, let us and my dear godbrother Nikalananda Prabhu, who I first met in my life for the first time yesterday. Srila Prabhupada's family is so wonderful. In Prabhupada's family members, where there's just in our connection to Prabhupada, there's immediate love and gratitude and connectiveness, like brothers and sisters. And it's such an exciting family that practically every day you could meet a new brother you never met before, even when you're 58 years old. Let us welcome Nikalananda Prabhu to share. Very dedicated devotee from Germany, yes? Germany. This week, our city of Mumbai has been tragically shaken by these terrorist activities. Not only Bombay, but the whole of India and most of the world has been deeply affected. And being so close to where we are and who we know, it has had a very deep effect on many of our lives. Just today, one devotee and her family came. She was working at the Taj Mahal Hotel. And suddenly there was the sounds of guns firing. And the hotel management led them to try to hide, first under tables, then into another room and another room. And she personally witnessed one of the terrorists just randomly killing people. So cruel. She said he was practically laughing, as if he was just playing. It was just like play for him, just killing people. And she was trapped, hiding for over 8 hours before finally escaping. During those 8 hours, devotees were praying and chanting for her safety. One of our brahmacharis, from what I understand, his first cousin was there, and she escaped, but her husband and his mother and father were killed. Another devotee, their son's biology teacher and her husband was killed. They knew him very well. These are just a few instances that have come to my attention within the last day. And some of the terrorists were killed, and one was captured just within 1 or 2 minutes' walk from Radha Gopinath Temple. How does a Vaishnav see such tragedies? Devotees see whatever appears within this world through the eyes of the scriptures and through the eyes of the great saints, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. The first response of a devotee is the heart. Bhakti is of the heart. Vaishnav means paradukaduki. Out of compassion, to feel pain for the suffering of others. There are so many different perspectives in which a Vaishnav can analyze and discuss such a trauma that we have seen. Today in my bookshelf, I'd close my eyes and just went like this and chose a book, thinking what words are Prabhupada's giving me? And without even opening my eyes, I just took the book and opened it up to a page, and the first words I read in a Prabhupada purport, then I went to the word, where he said, a Vaishnav in disciplic succession is always unhappy to see other people suffering due to the threefold miseries. Miseries caused by other people, adibhotaka. Miseries caused by one's own body and mind, adiatmaka. And miseries caused by natural disturbances, adidaivaka. We have been reading about Prahlad Maharaj. He's being offered any benediction by Lord Narasimhadev. And he simply wants to remain in this world as an instrument of the Lord's mercy, as long as anyone is here suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. Basudev Dutt, he asked for one benediction. Let me take everyone's karma and suffer perpetually hellish conditions, but purify everyone else. Let them all go back to your abode. They all pray to be instruments of the Lord's mercy. So, a Vaishnava is Narottam. The best quality of human existence is manifest through the life of a devotee. Devotees are not callous to suffering. Devotees are very affected by suffering of others. And how do we act as instruments? Arjuna was a Kshatriya. He acted as an instrument by fighting to protect the innocent and reestablish the Lord's will of compassion. But for most of us, like Vasudev, Dattar, Prahlad, we are not like them, but following in their footsteps through our prayers. The prayer of a Vaishnava is very powerful, far more powerful than we understand ourselves. We may not even understand the power of our own prayers. But when devotees do not have material motivations in their prayer, when devotees are sincerely reaching out to the Lord for the help of others, Krishna hears that prayer and certainly bestows blessings. Certainly bestows blessings. So we should be sincere in our prayer for all those who have been afflicted by these atrocious activities. And we should try to make a difference individually and collectively to elevate people's consciousness. What is the root of the disease? Vaishnavism is about addressing that. The real enemies in this world are lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. And when people by their own free will agree to be controlled and affected by these enemies, they become instruments of the power of hatred. And we see this. How is it that a person can be so hateful, so envious, that they take joy in murdering and seeing innocent people suffer? How is it possible? And even put a label on it to justify it as something as holy. So demoniac. Simply instruments of envy. These enemies terrorize everyone from within. Hold us like hostages and exploit us. And factually, these enemies are so powerful. We have no way to defend ourselves. We have no way to rescue ourselves. We can only cry out with all sincerity for the Lord's mercy. Daivi Yeshu Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vame Prapajante Mayam Eta Tarantite. These enemies of material existence are very powerful. But one who takes shelter of me, Krishna explains, he delivers us. Srila Prabhupada, when he was on Jaladuta, although he himself had just endured several heart attacks, seasickness, he had virtually no money, he didn't know a single person in the Western world, he was about to get off a boat. He didn't know if even anyone was going to be there for him. Like Prahlad, what was his prayer? He was not praying for himself. He was praying to be an instrument of Krishna. Krishna's compassion for the welfare of others. The economic collapse that's inflicting so much suffering in the world, the wars, the prejudice, the hatred, the terrorism, it's all born of selfishness. It's all born of lust, which creates anger and pride, and greed, envy, and illusion. So we want to pray for the welfare of others, and we want to help. Just a year or so ago, when those bomb blasts took place in the railways of India, in the suburbs, so many dead bodies, injured bodies were brought to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. The doctors, the nurses, the congregation, they were chanting the holy names, they were giving charanamrit, giving tulsi leaves, and also trying to help them physically to whatever extent was humanly possible. Many times Srila Prabhupada was very proud to show people a newspaper article. There was a fire in Australia, in Sydney, Australia. And everyone was running away. And devotees were doing Harinam, Sankirtan or something. Rathayatra. They were doing Rathayatra and they took the cloth off the cart, the chariot, and stretched it out so that people can jump out their windows and be saved. Now, neophyte devotees would say, why are devotees trying to save people's bodies? But Prabhupada was so proud. He was so proud of our devotees. Devotees were praised. People wanted to hear what is bhakti after seeing what is bhakti. Prabhupada said when everybody else was running or just doing nothing, devotees were actually, because they have compassion. All over the world, Prabhupada was telling this story in his lectures and his talks. Because it is devotees' nature to be compassionate. For the body, for the mind, and especially for the soul. So in these circumstances, our prayer should be, how can I be an instrument of compassion? How could we be instruments of compassion? Krishna's compassion. Srila Prabhupada emphasized this book distribution. And asked us to be instruments of this compassion. When we understand and identify what is really the enemy, it's not just the people. It's the demoniac, envious forces that are controlling these people. Lust and envy and anger and greed, pride and illusion. This transcendental knowledge is there to equip people to fight the war against these enemies within us through knowledge and devotion. Some people, they question the existence or the power of God when these things happen. Where was God for this person? Why did God allow this to happen? Or why did God do this? And there are many arguments, many questions, many doubts that emerge in people's minds whenever there's a serious disaster. What kind of God is this that allows innocent people to be slaughtered? Maybe God isn't good. Or perhaps he's good, but he's not all-powerful. He's not very potent. There's nothing he can do about these things. So who really needs him? Or perhaps there's just not a God at all. What's the use of even believing in a God if he allows such things to happen? Philosophy is very important to maintain a strong foundation in our devotion, especially at times when these storms come, either personally or all around us. If you build a house on a strong foundation, no storm can knock it down. But if we build our If we build a house on sand, the storms can demolish it, destroy it. Our faith and our devotion is very much in need of a strong, solid philosophical foundation to withstand the onslaughts of this world. We were discussing this morning, from the very beginning and throughout the shastras, Krishna tells us that this material world is a place of misery. Abramabhavanaloka punar avartanojana mamupetyatu kontaya punar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet to the lowest, they're all places of misery. Krishna doesn't say they're places of inconvenience. He doesn't say they're places of pain. He says they're places of misery. Misery is a very, very intense, deep, graphic experience. We choose to come to this material world. And Krishna is so kind. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Out of his love and compassion, he comes in so many ways, in so many forms, in so many times and places to attract our hearts back to his loving service. Savai pungshang paro dharmo yato bhaktir dhokshache ahoitaki aprati hata yayatma suprasidati. Real religion is not a sectarian concept. The supreme occupation for all humanity is loving devotion to the Supreme Lord. And such devotion, such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Srila Prabhupada would explain, whatever religion teaches people to actually love God, that is good. It is not a sectarian concern. It's not just a matter of where you happen to be born and what you happen to be taught when you're a child as far as what religion you are. But when envy and ego, pride, and anger and greed, when these enemies become prominent within our heart, then we even interpret our religion to fulfill their dictations. That is the problem. So we do not hate any particular religion. We hate those who are dictated by these enemies within. And the world should unite. All those who sincerely want, on various levels, to apply God's will to their life. But God's will is compassion. Krishna says this is a world which is miserable. Miseries caused by other living beings has always been there. We shouldn't blame God or doubt God. We should understand that it's because people are not living according to the principles of Krishna that all of these things are happening. And Krishna gives us our free will in this world, and he gives others a free will. And the laws of karma and how people are inflicted by the cruelty of others, it's just part of this world. Just think about it. Is there anywhere in this world that's not on a regular basis full of suffering? Europe. Just look at the history. It's just a history of war after war after war, and whoever conquers just destroys and exploits and causes so much suffering. And then another war and another war. And plagues and disease and earthquakes and droughts. It's the history of Europe. Hitler. 6 million Jews, 2 million others. None of them were soldiers. They were all just innocent civilians that were tortured and murdered. And so many more that suffered. If 8 million were killed, how many others suffered in their families and their friends? That was just about 60 years ago. Not very long. And Stalin, some people, what, 20 million people, some people, some historians, 10, 15, 20 million people, it's estimated. Civilians, ordinary people, were tortured and died. America. So many of you Indians think, let me just go to America and be happy. Native American Indians were fighting each other first, and then the white man came and started slaughtering them. And there was all kinds of battles and fighting between the two. And then wanted independence from Britain. There was a major war. So many deaths, so many injuries. Then after that, there was a Spanish-American War. Then the Civil War. More people died in that war than all the others for Americans. Killing each other, fighting each other. There was slavery. President was shot and killed. Then after that, it didn't get much better. It's World War I. They called it the war that ends all wars. And a few years later, there was World War II. Well, in between was the Depression, the Great Depression, which makes the economic situation today look quite prosperous, where practically the entire country was in poverty. People had nothing. It was absolutely miserable situation. Then World War II. Then there was the civil rights, rioting in the streets, burning of cities, the hippie movement of a whole culture that revolted against their parents. Vietnam War, Korean War. Australia, so many problems. Name the place there isn't fighting on a regular basis. Horrible death. The only place I could think of is Antarctica. The reasons there's no humans there. And India, the Mughals came in and so much treachery, so much exploitation. Then the British came in. And if they were all that good, why did the whole Indian country revolt against them? And then after liberating themselves from the British, there was massive communal battles and killings and bloodshed and the partition. And we're Vaishnavas. We say, well, it doesn't affect us, but what in Vrindavan, Aurangzeb was slaughtering Vaishnavas, breaking deities, destroying temples. So maybe it's better if I become a Christian. Christ was killed. and all of his apostles except one. They were all tortured and killed. And the one that wasn't, I think he was boiled in oil and somehow he didn't die, so they banished him to an island. And the Jews, they were slaves for generations, then exiled into a wilderness. Haridas Thakur was beaten, 22 marketplaces. So whether you're religious or not religious, the material world is a place of suffering. Therefore, Prahlad, when he was asked for a benediction, he didn't ask for a better situation in this world because there really isn't a better situation in this world. It's just superficially there may appear to be. He asked, "My Lord, I don't want any more material desires because that's what keeps me in this world. Free me from this lust. From this selfishness. And let me always remember you. Let me be your devotee." No, it's not about just making the material world a better place. The only way to actually make the material world a better place is to transcend the material world. This is what Krishna tells us. Janma mrityu jarabhyadi dukha dosanu darshanam. Mamu petya punar janma dukha layam ashashvatam. This material world is a place of so much suffering. But those who attain me rise above it all. Yes, we should feel a sense of urgency to help people to rise above this lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, anger, and illusion. Prabhupada's books are like commandos. Really? And those who are devotees who are speaking the knowledge of these books are like commandos, trying to free the soul who is like a hostage of the enemies of these anartas. This is compassion, real compassion. We all have to die. And quite soon, we were speaking this morning, Lord Narasimhadev gave Prahlad Maharaj the benediction. He didn't ask for anything except, "I don't want to have any more material desires because that will keep me bound to the sufferings of material existence. I don't want anything except to always be remembering you." He tells Lord Narasimhadev that you're offering me benedictions for my service. The reason I'm doing my service and the reason I'm taking shelter of you is to be free from material existence, not to get enjoyment in this material existence. I'm afraid of material existence. Yes, there's so much suffering. And sufferings like this should actually affect our hearts very deeply on many levels. One, we should be angry at injustice. We should be angry at the enemies like Hanuman. Hanuman was not thinking, oh, Ravana, I'm transcendental to this world, let him do his thing. No. But his anger was not due to frustrated desire. The anger of these terrorists, the angers of other people who are causing so much atrocity, their anger is based on envy and greed and lust and tremendous amount of false ego. I'm the best, therefore my religion is the best. My nation is the best. Simply illusion. Hanuman was fighting for Ram. And we should feel compassion for all those who suffer. And we should do what we can internally and through our acts and words to make a difference. A tangible, solid, substantial difference. However big or small, whether we're Garudas or whether we're little sparrows, Krishna sees our sincerity and reciprocates. And we should also understand through these situations this sense of urgency. It was one of the things, one of the qualities of Prabhupada that deeply struck me. I had heard so many saintly people speaking very deep philosophy. So many nice social and religious thoughts. But Srila Prabhupada had an intense sense of urgency for the world and for each individual person that he came in contact with. He was not just asking us to chant Hare Krishna. He was practically begging us, pleading with us, because he saw our condition and he saw the condition of the world. Take this Krishna consciousness and share it with others. But when he said it, it was so deep. It was so real. It was so urgent. He was feeling for the sufferings of all living beings. He was seeing how people were victimized to engage in such atrocious activities. And League of Nations, United Nations, all of these things, they're necessary. But they don't go to the core of the problem. Srila Prabhupada was begging us to allow him to help us to go to the core of that problem, to purify our hearts, and to be instruments of real compassion, not fanatical, sectarian, dogmatic compassion, but the universal compassion of the soul. To love God and love every living being and raise their consciousness. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan, Sri Nitai Gaur Sundar, they came with a prime benediction to transform the hearts of people. That is the congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram.
Because we don't take Krishna or Prabhupada's words seriously about the nature of this material world and the urgency of our situation, our tendency is to become complacent. But it's real. We need to take shelter of the holy name. We need to give people the shelter of the holy name. And we need to be united with these influences all around us. We should understand what Krishna is expecting of us, and we should be united in a spirit of love for Krishna and compassion for other living beings. So that people can find actual happiness. Not the superficial happiness that's the cause of suffering, but the happiness of the soul, which is beyond birth and beyond death. Yes, Prahlad was giving the blessings to be the king for the lifespan of Manu, which means Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. The whole cycle is a Divya Yuga. Prabhupada says it's 4,300,000 years. Multiply that by 71. And that was how long Prahlad could live in his palace. A palace he didn't even want. And serve Krishna by ruling over his kingdom. And Prabhupada says, how long do we have to live? For Prahlad, that's a short life. Compared to eternity, 70 years, 60 years, 50 years, we don't know, at the most 100. It's nothing. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Human life is meant to realize God and be an instrument to help others. Whether grihastako, vane tako, sadahari bole tako, whether we're grihastas or renunciates, doesn't matter. Take seriously the opportunity that's here. It's urgent. And make a difference. Make a difference in this world. Although we weep, we cry, and we pray for the sufferings of others in these situations, it should also help us to take really seriously our responsibilities as Vaishnavas. Not to just complacently do a little chanting, give a little charity, and be immersed in materialistic life, but to honestly and earnestly take shelter of the Lord and his holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare.
So let us take a moment to pray for all those who are suffering, for all those who have suffered, and pray that we individually and collectively can really assist Srila Prabhupada as being puppets of his compassion, of his compassion and his love for Krishna and for all living beings. Thank you very much. Like Sri Madhava Maharaj to speak to us now.
A lot of people are thinking about how to go forward in the midst of calamity, how to analyze what has happened to human society. It is very difficult. And great sages and saintly persons inquire exhaustively, they're bewildered. There is not one single opinion. Na so many asyamatam na binnam. Every philosopher has another opinion. So there's not one opinion. There's no unanimity of opinion. What should they do? But the reality is that everyone in this material world is on the path of death. This world is Martyaloka, the planet of death. And we are on this planet. Every one of us here is on that path. Deyaschitayam paraloka maragi. The Subhashita says that those who are meditating on this body, on this world, paraloka maragi, they have to follow the path that others follow. Paraloka could mean transcendental, but not in this case, because the word is used deaschitayo. They're meditating on the body. So paraloka marage means in that case they have to go the path that everybody else goes, which is what? Death. Naturally. Chatasya hitava mrityur dhruvam janma mrtasya cha tasmada parihari arte natvang sochitamarasi. One who has taken birth, death is certain. For one who is dead, birth is certain. The unavoidable discharge of your duties you should not lament. But what is that duty? The duty, it depends on svabhavika, your mood, svakarmika, what is your talents? But the living entities benefit. Without proper direction, they simply become cheated by society. And that's the suffering that caused the suffering. Durgachati iti Durga. You cannot cross over her. And she is using her trishul. Avadi Admik, Adi Bhautik, and Adi Daivik Klesh, and Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, and stabbing everyone with that trishul. But Mamevaye Prapadyante, Mayamev Tam Tarandite. That is our mission that Prabhupada has given us, to try to get people to taste even a drop of Hare Krishna. Even a drop of prasadam, even a drop of appreciation. I met one person on the train last night at 1 o'clock when I woke up, normal time, and he said, I'm in Mira Road. I visit the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. I visit the temple there. How does one become a member? I said, it is, then I quoted that, etavaj janmasa phalyam, those who have a human body, dehinam who have a body, iha dehishu, and in this world they have achieved a body, or they're going on in this world, iha dehishu, they have a body within this world, prane, with their life, arte, with their money, dhya, with their brains, vacha, with their speech, shreyam acharanam sada, they should do good for others. Krishna mentioned that in Bhagavatam about the trees of Braj, that how selfless they are. They give shade. They don't protest when they're cut. They give fruits. They give in charity. And they tolerate so many elements. They're just like munificent sages. The sages, some of them took birth as birds of Braj. And Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad says, the birds of Braj, they are chattering, talking about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they spit, toot, toot, twice on insignificant dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Chaturvargas. So that's the birds, the sages. But the trees, Krishna said, they are like sages also because they are tolerant, they are loving, they are compassionate. They're giving as much as possible. They give without any expectation of return. They are full of compassion. They are interested in the welfare of others and nothing for themselves. They're so compassionate. But prane, they've got prana. They can give that. Prana chichar sehetu prachar. If you've got life, you can preach. Dead man can't preach. So prane, give your life. So I was telling that gentleman, give your life. They're not ready. Like in Bombay here, the famous story was there when some baniya came to Prabhupada to wash his business. And he brought some check. Swamiji, we brought you this donation. Please take it. Tamal Krishna Maharaj had said, he's bringing a check. Nah, so many businessmen bring checks. Nah? He should bring his son. And Prabhupada said, yes. Because that was what he was doing in League of Nations, right? In Jhansi, he was trying. You give me one of your sons, we can train him. Nah, we can train him in dharmic life. That they're not ready to give. So, Swamiji, please take this check. Yes, that's all right. You've given this check. You want to give this check. That's all right. Why don't you give your son? We can train him to become a Brahmin. Oh, Swamiji. He was trembling. He was sweating. He was like, you cannot say no, but you cannot say yes. So we don't want to be cursed or we don't want to be unfortunate because we've come to get some come to approach Ashirvad Maharaj. We want Ashirvad for our Bhautik Samsara. We want some Ashirvad. That's why I've got the check. Nah. We want some quick return, nah, of our pyramid scheme. We want a quick return on our investment. My godbrother Sikhi Mihiri mentioned that very humorously in Chicago once in 73. One Gujarati congregational member came and said, you know, I come before Kishore Kishori and I come before the gods and I say, gods, why don't you give me some money? I gave you this, you know, $1, $5 in the hundi, you know, why don't you give me some money? So the money was coming to Prabhupada with the check. What for? For artha. I'll give something, wash my business. My black will become white by offering it to Krishna through this sadhu. And I'll get some ashirvad and we can enjoy my life. My business will fructify. My family will be purified. Things will go on. Yes, that's all right. You've brought your check. That's very good. But why don't you give your son? Oh, Swamiji. Oh, Swamiji. And he was trembling, you know, like this. And he put this check and he walked out of the room. And Prabhupada turned it to Mal Krishnamurti and said, I don't think it'll work. He was not ready. Prana. But you cannot give prana unless you receive it. Unless you get amrita. Unless you meet somebody who has prana, you're not impressed that I should also give prana. That's the point. Somebody has to have prana and has to be loving and affectionate to encourage you that you should also give prana. Everything goes on in life. Your nokri, your family, your parivar, everything can go on, but with Krishna in the center. That a Vaishnava has to show you with that affection how to put Krishna in the center. So that's prana. Then all right, for some people that they cannot do that, then they'll give artha. All right, give some donation, but Prabhupada's mood was compassion in Bombay. How to make them devotees. Give them books, give them prasadam, invite them to cultural programs, make them devotees. They should also become devotees. Their check is the start, but they should become devotees. That was Prabhupada's compassion. Dia, give your brains. You are all talented doctors, lawyers, accountants. Use your talents for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, for the mission of Lord Krishna. And offer your intelligence, how to love Krishna. Use your brains, your talents, how to love Krishna. How to become greedy for Krishna. And the minimum is vacha. Oh, these Hare Krishnas are very nice. That's the minimum. But that's very important. PR is always important. They're very nice. They are very nice people. I ran to one person in Kandivali once. When in 1986, when we had Gujarati Chaitanya Charitamritas, unfortunately, they have to be improved. We distributed, and I met him. And he said, in Cross Maidan, in 1971, I saw your Swamiji after the program. And I rushed through. He told me the whole story, how he snuck in behind. There was some chokidars, you know, like that. And there was one devotee, and he just went right behind that devotee. And they just went right through the chokidars, and he went up. And he pulled out a 5-rupee note out of his pocket. And at that time, after the Pandal program, Prabhupada was going to eat some fruits. Giriraj Maharaj, other pure devotees, brought some fruits for Prabhupada. And he was going to eat some fruits. He popped some fruits in his mouth, finger fruits, fast. And he also distributed some to Giriraj Maharaj, a few other devotees. And at that time, I pushed forward, and I gave him this 5-rupee note. And Swamiji took the 5-rupee note and put it in his pocket. I felt so good. I gave him 5 rupees. And he got some fruits, and he walked out. He told me the story. He's probably no longer on the planet. That was 86. But I thought, he gave 5-rupee note and to a Veda Paraga, a Vaishnava who knows the Vedas. It came back unlimitedly. The benefit came back unlimitedly. And the fruit of that was he got a Chaitanya Charitamrita in Gujarati. Yeah, I'll take this, said. I'll read this Gujarati Chaitanya Charitamrita. He had that experience. He understood, he heard about the compassion of a Vaishnava. He heard the words, it struck him, and he wanted to do some seva. Prane arte. And his dia was used, how would I get to that Vaishnava to do some seva? Dia and vacha. I'll speak something very nice to the sadhu. And afterwards, but he never forgot that. Never forgot that. When you meet Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis of substance, the substantial nature of that creates sanskara, an indelible impression on the consciousness, which you cannot forget. 15 years later, he remembered it exactly what happened to him in his life. And he got a Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I thought, wow, what a nice story. Now, the devotees are in pain. As Maharaj nicely said, some devotees are personally have been affected by the catastrophes, or you know somebody who's definitely been affected. How do we see it? There's so many ways of looking at it. Bhakti burns brightest when there is calamity. In Vrindavan, they said, oh, you're going to Bombay. Shouldn't you postpone? It's not the time to go, is it? This is exactly the time to go. This is the time when you can get somewhere. Bhakti burns the brightest under tension. When there is tension, bhakti burns the brightest. Because it is a test. Pariksha. You've heard so much. You've seen so much. What are you going to do about it yourself? Abhyasanam. Abhyasana tu kunteya vairagena jagriyate. Abhyas. Practice it. And if the rest of it is vairagya, detachment. So Durga, externally, she's used her trishul. Variyatmik, aribhotik, aridaivik klesh. She's killing the demons who are bahirmukh. They're against Krishna. Something happened. Isn't it interesting? Everybody was just going about their nokri, their service in the hotels, or they're going about their business, right, at Chhatrapati Shivaji Terminus. And everybody thinks, I'm going home to my Prabhu, my Pati, or my wife, or my children. Nobody dreamt that the duration of life is coming to an end. And that shock of it is that, well, I could have been there. Or I was there nearby. Or I would just came from there. Or it could have happened to me. It could have happened to my neighbors. I lucked out. But how to go forward? How to go forward? Pariksha. A test means that we have to have some examination. Antarmukha. We have to face it inside. What to do now? Every one of us are on the path of death, today or tomorrow. What will we do about it? That's Vaishnava, Vaishnavi of substance. This is called antarmukha. You can contemplate it within. Meditate on it within. But what can you do? You can do something individually. Just like I saw an Anglican. There was an epitaph on an Anglican's tombstone. He said, when I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. Preach. Do something. Change the world. But the world was not about to change. Then I thought, all right, let me change my family. But my family was not budging. They were not ready to change. Just like when you read Prabhupada Lilamrita. All right, it's either tea or me. Well, I'll have to take the tea. If it's a toss between my husband or tea, I'll have to take the tea. Little did she know what would happen next. But it's very interesting. Pariksha is there every time. From every calamity or any situation, there must be an outcome. There must be an analysis. There must be something that we have to do. There must be a result, a conclusion, a siddhanta. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? So how do we take this? There's so many ways of looking at it. But the reality of it is bhajan koro, sajan koro, mortli janli hoy. That our bhajan, our worship of Krishna, and our sajan, association of devotees, will be tested on how we meet the final examination. It is not how they met, because their ayush, their duration of life is destined at the time they took their birth. It's there in their nakshatra, it's there in their stars. It is there. That they had to leave at that particular time. So I was talking with Matsyavatar in Govardhan. Once I said, is there a Hitupadi shloka for what is destined to happen will happen and cannot be otherwise? And he looked in Hitopadeshan, he says the closest shloka I found was this one. He says that Chandra is worshipped by all the Grahagan. And he is surrounded by his followers. He has the nakshatras, the stars, surrounding Chandra Bhagavan. But he is pursued by Rahu. Even such a wonderful person like Chandra, who personally used his finger to nurse Maricha after her mother, the Apsara, went back to Brahma. What a wonderful Chandra. Compassionate, exalted, gives life to the vegetables. Chandra is amazing, yet he is pursued by Rahu. He has his problems. So the shloka continues, the last part of mentions that can anyone wipe off their forehead that which is written there? Shrama. You have a perspiration, Shrama. Can you wipe off your forehead that which is written there? So in one sense, the compassion is that we are sorry for everyone's suffering. On the other hand, internally we think they must have deserved it. It happened so cruelly, so horribly. It does not condone it. We are not relishing it. The demoniac nature of an asura, relishing killing innocent people. At the same time, not a blade of grass moves without God. So it is the inexorable force of karma. It is, because this is Vatira world, is Marchaloka. It is, death is marching. What can we do? Hey Ram, hey Krishna, call out. That is our business. Grihe ba bane te thake, ha goranga bole dake, narottama mage tarasang, ha goranga bole. Can we do that? That is what a Vaishnava and Vaishnavi does. Whether it is a close shave, I was in the hotels, or I know somebody who was. In every single moment, every single day, there is some close shave. Some are closer than others. But it should force us to become internal. Dake! Can we do dake? Can we do goranga dake? And if not, what is wrong with me if I can't do goranga dake? What is stopping me? Like Maharaj was saying, the energies of these Kam, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, and Matsarya. Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad, criticizing himself. Krodhadi nakramakarai kavali kritasya. These five enemies of lust and anger, they're the crocodiles and the sharks. And they're simply chewing at me, making a meal out of me. Kavali kritasya, they're making a meal out of me. They're chewing at me every day. I was talking with Maharaj, and there was one Mukunda Mala Stotram shloka that I was quoting. That he was showing me one Bhagavatam shloka that he liked. And I was reminding him of Mukunda Mala, where it said the same thing. Naturally, kavis are like that. There is no intellectual property rights in Sanskrit. You can steal from anybody. And they do. And Bilva Mangala Stava, you'll see when the BBT publication comes out, if my godbrother Mukunda Dutta is merciful to all of us. But you'll see many Bhagavatam shlokas are there. And plagiarism is very common. Amrita, if it's nectar, why should I drink it alone? Nah, everybody should drink it. Tell it to the ramparts like Ramanujacharya did. Just go out and give it to everyone. Let everybody drink Amrita, right? If it gives liberation, why didn't everybody get it? Let me stay. Let them drink Amrita. Let them be liberated. So plagiarism is there in Sanskrit because it's Amrita. You know, steal it, relish it, woo. And it affects our heart, and then we'll write it in poetry also. That's what's one kavi influences another kavi. Ooh, it's very nice poetry. So, Baba Jaladi Gatanam Dushtadam Nishtadehum Katamaham Iti Chedo Masmaga Kataratvam Sarasiti Jushi Devi Taraki Bhaktareka Naraka Bidi Nashanna Tarayit Yet Yavasham. Those that are South Indians know this. There must be many devotees that know this shloka. That in the horrible ocean of birth and death, Tushtadam Nishtadayam. We have so many horrible sufferings and demons and wicked people. Nishtadayam. Katamaham iti cheto. How will I live? How will I manage amongst all of that? Masmaga kataratvam. And I'm speaking about that. Don't speak. But the sloga says, don't speak about that. You're affected by it. Don't speak about that. Ma kataratvam. Sarasiti drishadeve. But at every moment, you can see the Supreme Lord if you think about Him. Nadaki. Babati Naraka Bidhi Nashanna. Tarayat Yatyavasham. If you remember the Supreme Lord who is Naraka Bidhi, the enemy of Narakasura, Tarayat Yatyavasham, you will cross over it. So this is the test. This is the test of bhakti. That if you meet devotees and you chant, can you remember Krishna? And if you can, Kulashekara Raja says, that remembering Krishna's names at any time on the field, at the time of death, on the battlefield, everything, the whole material world becomes as useless as a pebble or a piece of wood. At the time of death, every day, or on the battlefield, Pashanda Kasta Sadashaya Dadya Bishtam. Insignificant, like a pebble or a piece of wood. Yes. So all this calamity, the bright light of going forward is now. Let me become a better devotee. Let me chant more deeply, begging. Because unless we can become Prema Bhikaris, unless we become Nama Bhikari, you cannot give it to other people. Compassion means we want to give, but you can only give what you have. And Vaishnavas are always internal about that. Well, I do it. I preach. I try to be compassionate. We try to help. But how much can I be effective? How much can I be effective? Then they look within their heart. I can only be as effective as pure as I will be. Whatever I know, whatever vijnana I got, that I can give. If I'm convinced about it, that I can give. But what is the depth of my conviction? Then it's tested. Calamities like this is a test of the conviction. How are you going to go forward? How are you going to become a better human being? Because we're all on the firing line. Today or tomorrow, we're all on the firing line. Some get fired earlier and some get fired later. Who do you take shelter of? Krishna and Krishna's Priya. That's what a devotees do. When there is calamity, when there is distress, take shelter of somebody substantial. Just like I've been reading and hearing and contemplating about Rani, Tulsi Rani. And Hari Bhakti Shudadaya is the wonderful caption there. I cannot wait to get the really Sanskrit in that. That one Brahmin, Angusta Brahmin, he's illiterate. He went out to collect some grass for his neighbor, the Yagyik Brahmin, for his cows. I'll get something, some artha, I'll benefit. And he took some pantabat, rice soaked in water from the night, old leftover rice. Got some energy, took his sickle, went out in the field to cut the grass. And the Yamadutas came. His life, he does not know. He's hale and hearty, and he's going out for his nokri, right? No, not a clue. His ayush has come to an end. So they told a cobra, you go and you bite him. He is a Brahmin. He's not done his dharma. He's not worshipped Bhagavan properly. You may bite him. They gave permission. So the cobra was approaching him. He didn't know. And Yamadutas told him, better you bite him quick. Because if he collects the tulsi, then it is beyond yours and ours jurisdiction. So Providence smiled on the Brahmin. He collected the grass for his Yagyik Brahmin friend. And along with the grass that he mound up in a big mound, he collected some tulsi. And the Samp, the cobra, entered into the grass. Thinking, I will wait for my opportunity. And he put the tulsi on top of the grass. And the Brahmin picked up the whole thing, tuck, stuck it on his head. Any Gaowala does the same thing, right? Typical. And the Yamadutas were watching and going behind. When he puts that tulsi down, then the Sanp, the cobra, will come out and bite him. So they followed. But as soon as he put the tulsi there, then the Sudarshan Chakra came to protect that Brahmin. So the Yamadutas and the cobra could do nothing. And the Brahmin just, went home, you know. Took the grass and the tulsi home for his Yajnik Brahmin friend. So the Yajnik Brahmin was a Vaishnava. Very perceptive. And he could see that the Yamadutas are coming behind. And they're tormented by the heat of the Sudarshan. Amazing. Out of compassion, he spoke to the Yamadutas. My dear sirs, you look like you're being harassed. You're in difficulty. Can I do something for you? Compassion of that Brahmin. Yes, we have been ordered by Yama, our Dharmaraj, to go and collect this Brahmin. His life has come to an end. We have come to do our service. Oh, it is very compassionate of you that you have told this to me. He collected this grass for my cows, and he collected this tulsi for my worship. So you should be compassionate on this Brahmin. You should not take him. What can we do? The Yamadutta said, we've been ordered by our Yamaraj, our master, that we have to collect him. If you want to protect that Brahmin, you have to worship Sri Hari with the leaves of tulsi. If he's pleased, then he will protect the Brahmin, and we have nothing to do with that. You must be quick. He has an hour and a half of life left. Hearing that, the Yajnik Brahmin became very enthusiastic. Ah, so he started to take that tulsi. Obviously, he didn't take all of the tulsi. That was the first thing when I looked at that. I thought, he must be very chatur. He must be smart. He must have left. Keep some of the tulsi with you, he told his friend. He took the tulsi and he did a yajna for Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, of course, Vaishnavas, be merciful to this Prabhu. Be merciful to this sadhu. Please save this sadhu. Please save this person. So he begged on behalf of that Brahmin. And Lord Vishnu, who is Brahmanya Devaya, he was filled with, all right. So he agreed to protect the Brahmin, and the Yamadutas and the cobra went their way. Then he told the story to his illiterate Brahmin. Ah, I didn't know that, his illiterate Brahmin Fred said. I didn't know that. Wow. And both of them worshiped Sri Hari and ultimately obtained liberation. So you never know who you benefit by giving Sri Hari to them, by giving tulsi to Sri Hari. If you want to get Sri Hari, take shelter of somebody amazing like her. And the Yamadutas, the next question that came to me when I look at that, I wonder, gee, is there a commentary on that? The first thing I thought, the Vishnudutas didn't come. So maybe it is our jurisdiction. Oh, that was another story. Madhavananda told me that story. I still have to get the Pramana for that. That one Brahmin, his life was coming to an end. And the Yamadutas approached him and said, come with us. Wait. I have to go pass urine. When nature calls, nobody stalls. Narendran Maharaj taught me that. Wait. I have to pass urine. So the Yamadutas were evidently very compassionate. All right, go ahead now. Fatafat. You know? Fatafat nikalo. You know? Like that, you know? So he went and passed urine. And then he's a Brahmin now. So that's another question that comes. You have so many questions when you read Shastra. First thing is, he must have washed his hands with dirt or water. What did he do? He must have washed his hands with dirt. Then he grabbed onto the stem of the tulsi nearby and would not let go. So the Yamadutas were bewildered. What are we going to do now? The police, the investigative agencies. What are we going to do now? And the Yamadutas, Manaknaki, they didn't stop him now. So is it our jurisdiction? Maybe it's our jurisdiction. Now, nobody came to get in our way. So maybe it is our jurisdiction. What should we do about it? Who's responsible? Who done it? Investigate. Is it our responsibility? The investigative agencies, right? So I don't know. Let's go ask our Prabhu. So they took the Brahmin and the Tulsi to Yama. Prabhu, Dharmaraj, Yamaraj, what is our responsibility here? I don't know. So what does he do? Let's go ask Indra. So they all went to Indra. The Brahmin, the Tulsi, the Yamadutas, they went to Indra. We have this Brahmin. He was not religious. He's committed so many sinful reactions, and he's holding on to this Tulsi plant and not letting go. Whose jurisdiction is it? I don't know. Indra said, I don't know. Let's go ask Brahma. So they all went to Satyaloka. They went to Brahma, and they asked Brahma, whose jurisdiction is it? Indra, Yama, Yamadutas, Brahmin, and the Tulsi went to Brahma. Brahma looked at them and said, I don't know. Let's go ask Vishnu. So then they went to Swetadweep, where Lord Vishnu is reclining, like Dhruvaloka, you know, the fixed Vaikuntha planet in the material world. And Vishnu smiled, and he said, anyone who takes shelter of my devotee, Tulsi, obtains my abode. And it is wonderful that you demigods have been so kind to deliver him to my abode. You can go now. I'm waiting for the Sanskrit of that story, where it's from. But I thought, every one of us is, we have so many times when devotees get heart attacks or health problems, you know. So Bhaktivedanta Hospital will help you, but only so far, not, right? What is the Kimoshadam? Prichisi Murda Durmate Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba. Drink the nectar of Krishna's name, Narayan's name. Ultimately, that's what Tulsi Rani does. Gives you the taste for chanting Krishna's name. That's the main thing. And you hold on to her stem and don't let go. A very good idea. Very, very good idea. You know? If you ever you have any problems, chest pains or something, grab onto the stem of Tulsi and don't let go. Because Dushwapna Nashanarthaya. Now there may be so many devotees in this audience, or you know so many people. Oh, I cannot sleep. Oh, I cannot sleep. I'm simply thinking about my lost relative who is gone, who has been shot and killed and gone. And this trauma, the breadwinner is gone. Oh, how much their family is tormented by this suffering. Oh, I cannot sleep. Tell them, please take shelter of Tulsi Rani. Your Dushwapna will become Nash by her. Better. Better than Krishna. Better than Krishna. Matak Parataram Nanyat, Krishna says in Gita, right? Nothing higher than me. But there is somebody higher. Behind every great man stands a greater woman. Lord Vishnu stands his wife. So much so that even when they insulted her and she felt so bad about it, Lord Vishnu pacified them. And Lakshmi, Saraswati, Ganga, they all embraced her and put her by their side. She is too much amazing. So powerful. Pundarik says, therefore, Talasya naparam kinchit, daivatam jagaditale. There is nothing higher than her of all the demigods in all the different directions, worshipable personalities. Yeah, because of her, pravitrato loko, the Pallit becomes purified. Vishnu Sangena, she gives them her husband, Vaishnava. One Vaishnava, when I called him in London about a problem one Tulsi Pujari had, he said, 50% perspiration and 50% ashraya. This is her seva. Unless you're ready to do the perspiration, you will not understand what the ashraya means. It was all theoretical. You'll never understand. You have to do perspiration. That's seva. Wow, what a brilliant thing. What about that? Her bhava is like this. Just like any lady, when she wants to attract a working male, she acts like she's helpless. Oh, I'm very weak. I need you to help lift this thing. Can you help me? Oh, this lady is very, needs some help. Let me help her, right? So you help her lift the things, and she hires you, right? She hires you. And Tulsi, where does that come from? Janmadhyasiyatha, everything comes from Bhagavan, right? Or the Bhagavatas. So Rani, she does that. Oh, I am a helpless lady. I have yellow leaves. I have mealy bugs. I have spider mites. I'm very helpless. You must do something about it. It's your responsibility. I've come to your house. You should do something about it. Yes. Yes. I am a man. Yes. I am the lady of the house. I am the home minister of this house. Yes. I will do something about it. Oh, you must do something. I'm very helpless. You must do something. And then you do something and she says, very good. Now your heart is more purified. Take Vishnu. Take my husband. And the whole world turns to Vaikuntha. Yes. The whole world turns to Vaikuntha. So, best is devotees like that. Substantial devotees. Devotees of substance. But the best devotees of substance are the ones that are eternal. Eternally liberated. Eternally present. And eternally giving and compassionate. No one more compassionate than that. The Shaktis of the Lord, the female nature of the Lord, so compassionate. We need compassion. Where do you get it? From those that are compassionate. And she has grown, Ropita Tapasai Vridyai, she has grown to increase tapasya. So when she has grown like that, Ramchandra worshipped her, Lakshman worshipped her, Hanuman worshipped her, Vishishta encouraged Ramchandra, they all worshipped her, grew her with tapasya to get the aim that they wanted. So, and she made them successful. It says in the Padma Purana Srishti Kanda. I just got it. Devotees can get this compassion from those that are compassionate, the female nature of the Supreme Lord. Then devotees that are, or the congregation that is suffering from the torments of this trauma, they can take shelter of her and she can destroy all of that very easily and encourage them to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then in her company, she will teach us how to do Gauranga Dake. And if we can do Gauranga Dake in her company, then your heart is more pure to give it to other people in this city. Hare Krishna.
Anyone like to ask any questions? Mahaprabhu, you had a question.
Yeah, you have already answered my question.
Why is he always the icebreaker? He always asks the first one to ask the question. He's always the icebreaker. He always asks.
This morning.
You have already answered my question in your class, but still, when you are asking me, I'm asking that why, you know, when everything is done with the sanction of the Lord and nothing happens, even the blood of grass is not moving without the sanction of the Lord, then whatever is happening, whether this by the terrorists in the city of Bombay, is all sanctioned by the Lord only, then why should we blame anybody?
Sanction in the sense that Krishna gives free will. He tells us what not to do. But then he gives us the free will to do it or not do it. That is his sanction. Krishna is sanctioning me to answer your question. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us what is the demoniac nature, which is absolutely what he forbids us to do. But still, he gives us the free will. In giving us free will, he's giving sanction. It doesn't mean that that's what he wants. So when one human being commits an aparad to another, Vaishnava aparad, the elephant offense, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns us how it can destroy our spiritual lives. There's so many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita about the results of offenses to a devotee. So this very strong instruction. But still we have free will to follow or not follow. By giving us free will, Krishna sanctions. So we should not think that this is what the Lord wants. Human beings make a mess of the thing. It's sanctioned by the Lord, but it's not what he wants. Because without giving free will, there's no chance to love. So we should not think that Krishna did this. That's not what sanction means. We have the choice to love God. Krishna sanctions us. Krishna gives the sanction by which we can choose to hate God. There are people who hate God. They are people who reject God and dedicate their lives to prove that God does not exist. Is that what God wants? Absolutely not. But we have the free will to do it if we want. At the end of Gita, Krishna says, you can follow my instructions or not. That is your free will. But in every situation that God has sanctioned, he's there for us. Even if somebody does something that is completely against the will of God, and we're affected by it, still, Krishna is there for us if we turn to him. As Maharaj was saying, Tate nukampam susamikshimano bunjana evatma kritam vipaka. Vipadashantu tashashva tatra tatra jagat guru. That crises, tragedies, calamities are usually the situations that help us really turn to God with all sincerity. Not with complacency, not as a formality, but as our only shelter. So we should understand that in every situation that may come upon us or in this world, Krishna's always there within our hearts, waiting for us to turn to him. Does that answer your question?
So how to reply?
Don't blame God for people who disobey him. Turn to God in that situation.
How to reply to the people if they ask this question that why God is doing this thing to our relatives means why they are suffering so much in the hands of these terrorists?
It's the nature of this world that people have free will to bring upon karma on themselves or to put suffering on others. So the cruelty of people who have turned away from the will of God is what's causing the suffering. But in that situation, we could come closer to God. We can turn to God. We could understand who the enemy really is. The enemy is that propensity to turn away from God and become envious of others. That's the basis of material life, when we turn away from God and become envious of others. And it manifests in different extremes according to our free will and the conditionings that are created by our choices. So in this situation, yes, we should be compassionate towards people's sufferings. We should try to emotionally help them by giving them hope and by helping them to come closer to Krishna in this situation. It's not our position to blame God for other people who disobey him, who offend him. We should be compassionate and help people in this crisis to find hope and relief and shelter and love in turning to God and chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
The soul is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And only when we turn to God can we realize that essence of who we are. In the most hopeless situation, there's unlimited hope when we turn to Krishna. In the most lamentable tragedy, there's unlimited joy when we turn to Krishna. In the most inconceivable perplexities, there's wisdom and there's a clear direction when we turn to Krishna. And we want to give people that supreme of all gifts, that matchless gift of Krishna in whatever situation. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
That is real love. Another question? Sri Dama Prabhu. The microphone's going to someone else already. Anyways, it's been. Yes, please.
Hello. Okay. And during the discourse, there was a reference of fortune. We said that the forehead, one can wipe her like that. So we understand from the Bhagavad Gita that there is nothing called a fortune. And that is why there is no such fortune word in Bhagavad Gita. Because all the people who are fortune oriented, they are weak and they make others weak also. So this is also not written in any of the, like, Yoga Vasishtha Ramayana, you will find that there is a Ahika Karma and Praktana Karma. And in that, they have given the reference of Valmiki Maharshi, who was a rubber. And because of his Ahika Karma, he could become a sadhu and great sadhu. So this sort of fortune is not there. Why are we following this type of words? Is it really accepted by the Vedas? Is it accepted by the Gita?
So what's the question?
The question is, we should not have a reference of fortune. That is a hallucination.
We should not have a...
We should not say, what is written in our forehead should be, can anybody wipe it out? Yes, it was wiped out by Valmiki Maharshi.
I was talking with Basu Ghosh about this shloka. And he said about karma, about destiny. And interesting is there in Rajanushasana Parva of Mahabharata, when Yudhishthira asked this question to Bhishma Pitamaha about work and destiny. What is supreme? And Bhishma Pitamaha says 50-50. 50% work and 50% destiny. Both are together. Bhishma Pitamaha answers that. At the same time, that Brahma Samhita says, though, that why, how did some escape and some didn't? I mean, the ones that escaped, for some of them, they may have some smashan vairagya, you know, that just at the time of cremation of their dear relative, they become thoughtful, they become pious, they become God-fearing. And then, you know, after some time, you know, they forget and they go on. Whereas some other people, they cannot forget. That's so traumatic. They cannot forget the sufferings of their relatives. They cannot forget the torment. The pain is so deep, it lingers for years. It burns for years. That the only way they're going to get that pain out of their heart is to go forward, to make lifestyle changes. When I had some pain in my heart 4 years ago, which has just been uplifted from my heart, my sannyas guru told me, that pain that you felt, it is very deep pain for you. But then if your determination that you will not be the cause of a similar pain to anyone else, then you can get some relief. So that was a very interesting analysis. Let me suffer, but I'm suffering pain. I don't want other people to get pain. I have, evil has been done to my family. Evil has been done to my community. That does not mean that we should do evil to others. So he's asking about that shloka in Hitopadesh. It's interesting. Because a Vaishnava sees that karmadi nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. Whatever is wiped on your forehead, that only becomes nirdahati by the judge. The jury can have some effect. The jury can help the judge come to the siddhanta, come to the conclusion. But ultimately it's the judge who will decide. And the Supreme Judge, Vishnu, Krishna, he'll decide. What is the sentence? It's interesting. Any lawyer knows it. Murder is murder. But some gets involuntary manslaughter and they're on the street in a few years. And other people, it's first degree murder. They put you in the jail and they throw away the key. You're there till you die for murder. Some murderers, they will never get let out. Never. They're too much a risk for humanity. They must stay forever. And other people, they're remorseful. I did some wrong in the heat of anger, heat of Rajaguna, and they can get let out. Daivi Shakti Mata was preaching in Agra. I think it was a women's jail. One lady sung very enthusiastic bhajans. She turned to the warden. What did she do? She killed her husband. Really? You know, but, you know, there may be some remorse. Nah. Well, I did something in the heat of passion or something. But they can be let out after some years when they're no longer a threat to society. Nirdahati. The sentence has been reduced for good behavior. After you get vijnanam, after you get some realization, how to go forward. So the shloka is interesting. But the point is, it is not ours. If you are not a Vaishnav, and who will say I'm a Vaishnav? The point is, you can always improve. But it is not our judgment whether we will make the sentence less or somebody should make the sentence less. The judge has to decide that. Lord Vishnu will decide that. But if you are not a devotee, then you cannot change karma. No. Karma is written on the forehead. Even Chandra Bhagavan cannot change his karma, if Bhagavan agrees to it. But if Bhagavan agrees to it, yes, it can be changed. Karma can be changed. So that doesn't mean we should become calm chores. Or like Prabhupada said, Arjuna was not smoking ganja. Krishna, you're doing everything. All right, you do it. I'll sit back, smoke ganja. No, he wasn't. No, Arjuna had to work. Nah, you have to do your work, but give the fruit to Krishna. Then you become finished of karma. No karma. And if you are not, then Gita says others, anishtam ishtam mishram cha trivida bhavati phalam bhavitya tyaginam pratya natu sanyasanam kvichit. For those that are in this world, the threefold durations of work, good work, bad work, and mixed, accrue after death. But not those that are renounced, have no such mixings to suffer or enjoy. So we should encourage the people to go forward. How should I analyze what has happened? All right, Jo Gaya Ho Gaya. How are we supposed to analyze it? What did they do wrong? If you want to find out what they did wrong, go internally into Garuda Purana. There you will see what sinful reaction you get, you do to take different animal births or like that. They did something. It is horrible. They did something. We can't even dream what they did in previous lives to be deserved to be shot in cold blood on the streets of this city. What could they have done? But Durga's like that. She does that. Our mother is very merciful. She'll give you toffee and she'll give you a slap. Those that have got the slap from mother, they have to start thinking, wait a minute, why did my mother slap me? If you become a good devotee, if it shakes up your world, so you chant Hare Krishna a little bit more sincerely, then Durga will smile. Like Chandidas, the story of a Chandidas, you know the story? One devotee sent it to me from Mayapur. Chandidas was, as you know, nah, big devotee of Chandidevi, right? And he had so much opulence, big bungalow, nah, a lot of flowers. And his brother, he was a Vaishnav. He had one shaligram, nothing. He had not even a flower. So his brother was thinking, oh, my brother has got some big bagicha, big garden, and I have no flower. So he took one of those flowers mentally and offered to his shaligram. Then the servants of Chandidas, the mullis, they collected all those flowers, put it in a peti, right? And he brought it. And Chandidas was offering it to Durga. All of a sudden she came. Chandidas, I'm very pleased with you. What benediction would you like? But Ma, I've been worshiping you every day. What made you come now? And then, you gave me that prasadam from Shaligram. Never I've come. I like that flower. But Ma, I've been worshiping you every day. You never told me that Shaligram was more important than you. I'm very intelligent. You worship me all this time to teach you how to worship. Then when you really become smart, then you will understand who to worship. Oh, Mother, I'm very sad now. What can I do for your sadness? Mother, can I worship Shaligram? Oh, yes. Now, does it mean that he didn't care for Chandidevi after that? No. He understood, I'll worship the Shaligram and I'll give the prasadam to Chandi. You get the best of both worlds. This is called a positive financial scheme. You get very good, you know, very good returns on your investment. In Jagannath Puri, they do that. All the Jagannath Prasad is given to Bimala Devi, huh? And then the other, first Bimala Devi, and then the other devas they'll get. Lord, her husband, Lord Shiva, will get his cut, right? Mahadevi, he's waiting there now. He's waiting for Krishna's prasadam. And his Charanamrit, you give it to me, give it to Shiva. Get his cut. And then, you know, look at that. Then we get all this nice Jagannath Prasadam. So very good. But still, Chandidas wrote so many bhajans. Oh, I wasted my life in materialistic pursuits so much. Very good. So the fruit of his worship of Durga was that she was so compassionate to teach him to worship Vishnu. That is a mother's compassion. And he picked himself up and worshiped Vishnu and was very grateful for his mother's kindness. So whether the mother gives you slap or she gives rasgulla, Sometimes the slap is very heavy. And if the slap, and Durga is very heavy lady. Durgachati iti Durga. You've all seen it, what she can do. But it forces you to become internal. Business cannot go on like it was before. We must change. If some people in this city, preaching will be very good for all of you now. That is here. Preaching can be very good now. Now chant Hare Krishna. Now take Krishna Prasadam. Now give up sinful life. Now take Ram Nam, Krishna's Nam. That is good. Nah. All of you are suffering. Please take Krishna's name and all your sufferings will be mitigated by Krishna Nam. Preaching can go on very nicely. Otherwise, and then naturally, let all the world be happy. Sarva Sukhena Bhavantu. Sarva Shanti Niramaya. Sarva Badrani Pashantu. Ma Kashchit Dugavak Bhavet. Of course, that's a Subhashita. But when I got that, I thought, that's overly optimistic. Where is that? That is never anywhere in the material world. But then I reflected, only in the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavis can, Sarva Bhavantu Sukhena. Can everybody be happy? Only with the devotees can you be happy. Sarva Shanti Niramaya. Everybody will be peaceful and there's no ignorance. Only where the Vaishnavas. Sarva Badrani Pashantu. And everywhere you'll see only auspiciousness. Only with the Vaishnavas. And Ma Kashchit Dugavak Bhavet. May you never experience harsh speech. Only with the devotees. Woo. So let the whole city become devotees. By your preaching. Then Durga Mata will be very happy and she will cooperate. And if those will, by their free will, like Maharaj said, will not listen, well then Durga will continue her slapping.
You're not listening to me, no? Take another one.
Your free will, you're misusing it. Take another one. Durga will say, right? Stupid fellow, take another one. Durga will do it another way.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, just wanted to speak to you very honestly from my heart about this incident and wanted to check up what is the right perspective. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for the morning and afternoon class about giving us a very deep understanding of this situation. But Maharaj, honestly speaking, there are two things in my heart. Number one is that what has happened in this attack in Bombay, somehow that I'm feeling as if my own mother has been attacked. That's the feeling I'm getting, very sad feeling. So is this feeling wrong? Is it a feeling of attachment, a wrong attachment? Because we are attached to Bombay as a city. We are preaching here as a city which has given us shelter, city which has given us our spiritual master. And I'm personally feeling extremely sad and bad at what has happened to the city. Number one. Number two, I'm tremendously inspired by the commandos who have worked at the site to really rescue the innocent people. So, I'm feeling inspired in my service just by seeing their example. So is that right? And number three, Maharaj, thinking deep about this subject matter, there was a strong feeling and just wanted to check up with you whether is this right to we should get into politics as devotees, because what I'm seeing is that we are being unfortunately ruled by people who are unfortunately not being guided by Krishna consciousness. And I'm asking very seriously, if we really seriously look into this aspect of how we can really bring people's consciousness to a higher platform, and one of the powerful means is to preach to the elite class or devotees becoming the elite class, the rulers. So these three queries I had, Maharaj, and wanted your clarification on this.
If we see every living being as our brother and sister, aham bija pratapita, then we will personally feel paradukaduki for other living beings. This concept of paradukaduki is not just a theoretical philosophical principle. It's a genuine experience of the heart that when you love, to the degree you love Krishna, you genuinely see every living being as your relation and you feel for them. We should not be attached to any particular place as worshipable because we have been born there. But we see this whole earth is Bhumi Devi. Yes? Bhumi is our mother. There are seven mothers. The earth is one of our mothers. Bhumi. Bhumi is an expansion of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, who's an expansion of Radharani. Bhumi is the consort of Varahadev. Yes? So Bhumi is our mother. That means the whole earth. And Mumbai is certainly part of this earth. In fact, Mumbai is named after Munda Devi, who is our mother. Yes? So we shouldn't limit it to Mumbai. We certainly, it certainly very intimately includes Mumbai because it's so close to us. It's where it's your Prabhudatta Desh. It's this part of the earth that you've been given such immense devotional service. And therefore we're very much attached to helping the people in this place. It's like Srila Prabhupada to some African American devotees, he sent them to Africa. He said, these are your people. You should go there and preach. Yes? So these relationships to our country, to our city, they're not material relationships if we're trying to help people that we can actually make a difference for and communicate with. So yes, these terrorists struck your mother. And you should feel a very, very deep concern and a deep sorrow. And as far as the commandos, you said you're very inspired and proud of the commandos. That's very good. They risk their lives to help innocent people. You can feel that. But you should be inspired by them to be a commando yourself. To do God's work. Because people in this world, they're being terrorized by lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and they're hostages. Yes? And the Vaishnavas are commandos. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ordered us to become equipped with spiritual potency by chanting Hare Krishna and associating with devotees, and then to give that to others. So we should become very, very spiritually strong. Those commandos would not have been able to do their job if when they were supposed to be training, they were watching television and eating Belpuris. Right? They were sitting in the cinema houses watching men and women running around trees together. They were able to help because they performed severe tapasya in their training. Yes, we could learn from them. We can be inspired. We want to help people. We want to help people because they're all hostages of Maya Devi, of Durga Devi, of lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. But if we want to be competent like them, we have to be strong in our way by doing our sadhana. qualitatively, quantitatively, by chanting the holy names, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, by following regulative principles, by worshiping the deities, by praying. And the commandos were unified. It wasn't just one person that did it. They were a unified team. So similarly, we as a congregation, as Vaishnavas, it's our duty to try to rescue people from birth and death. Permanently, not just temporarily. So we have to be united. We have to rise above all. The commandos, they may have had different opinions. They may not even personally like each other so much. Yes? They probably don't. But they were united for a higher cause. So similarly, we also, as Krishna's commandos, Prabhupada's commandos, we have to be united for the higher cause. People are suffering. People are dying. People's human lives are being exploited. So we must individually and collectively become united and spiritually strong and then reach out to help people, even risk our lives to help people. Haridas Thakur risked his life to help people. Prabhupada risked his life to help people. Preachers risked their lives to help people. So in this sense, yes, we should be inspired by the commandos, but the inspiration should help us to be what we could be, to be instruments of saving people from the enemy of death. And the third one was?
Politics.
Just don't let politics come in between you. That's the most important thing. As far as politics, we accept what is favorable for Krishna consciousness and we reject what is unfavorable. If getting involved in politics is favorable for Krishna consciousness, then yes, we should be involved in politics. But if we just get sucked into the mundane aspect of politics, then we have no business getting involved in politics. Prabhupada did not want us necessarily getting involved in supporting particular political parties. Because one party is strong, another party is strong. It's always like that. But to the extent we can actually make a difference, Prabhupada had devotees start their own political party. In God we trust. But then, according to Balavanta Prabhu, he was sitting right here, he told us he told us the whole story. And he said, when they started asking Prabhupada again and again for more money for the party, then he dismantled the party. Prabhupada was very practical.
Too much.
Prabhupada went to meet Indira Gandhi. He was involved. He was writing letters to Mahatma Gandhi. Sometimes Prabhupada would invite politicians to the platform in Delhi and other bundles. But when he approached politicians, it was not to help them in their material pursuits, and it was not for material purposes. When he approached politicians, it was to promote the real cause of bhakti. So we should be very careful. If it is favorable for Krishna consciousness, then yes. But if it is not, then it could entangle us in a very unproductive way. The greatest weapon in all of creation is the holy name. Because guns and bullets, they can kill people's bodies. But but only the holy name could kill the enemies within. Dinahina yata chilo harinam udharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Jagai and Madhai, they were heavy terrorists.
You look at the eyes of the picture of Madhai.
Heavy. Yes. Where are they? Yes. They were burning people's houses. They were raping people's wives. They were killing, murdering. They were very bad. But Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the holy name, they killed the enemy within them and made them into pure Vaishnavas. So as Vaishnavas, this is our... Everybody has their role in society. Our role is according to our position, whether we're politicians or whether we're business people or whether we're brahmacharis, brahmins, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, brahmacharis, grihastas, vanaprastas, sannyasis, whatever our position, our duty is to please Krishna and to perform our duty in such a way that we can elevate people's consciousness. And how do we do that? By somehow or other understanding the serious urgency of distributing this knowledge of the prime benediction for all humanity, the chanting of the holy names. Organization of Sikhs. The leader of them approached Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, Sikhs are kshatriyas. He told the guru, he said, so you be the kshatriyas and we be the Brahmins, and we will work together to establish Dharma. So Prabhupada was very open to, as long as Krishna is in the center. So now we will do Nam Sankirtan.